Hello again there, folks. So I thought I'd do something a little bit different, and I often get asked what things I like to read or who influenced me and that kind of thing. And one of my favourite writers and essayists, and you can find all of his stuff at Countercurrents, is a French neo-fascist called Maurice Bordesch. And Bordesch is very interesting, I think, because he was mainly an essayist and a theorist. He survived the end of World War II, and he was around to write essays and a few books, noting down what had happened. And from Bordesch's perspective, World War II was more like a rebellion of European men against global oligarchy, and it failed. And after the war, he studied especially what was happening in Nuremberg and the trials. And from Bordesch's perspective, which is one of his longer form articles, essays, he gets into how the Nuremberg trial was actually much more than what people think, and it was sort of crafting an international law, an ethical code for what would become, and it was the oligarchs, of course, for what would be eventually become what today we would call globalism or the New World Order or what have you. And from it's an interesting perspective, and one you don't hear very much, that actually there was more happening with Nuremberg than what we're led to believe. And so I'm going to read a second part of one of his essays, which is called From International Law to Global Oligarchy, where he kind of rounds that off and puts it all into perspective. And the second part of it is quite brilliant, I think. So this is it. This world that we felt presently to be so fluid, to elude all definition, all certitude, has then at last become somewhat stable, final, irrevocable. It is the laws which render us dependent. In our places, in our cities, there is no more sure anything anymore. No more certain limits between good and evil. No more ground where to put our feet down. But above us, what vigorous architecture starts to take shape. A French, German, Spanish, or Italian citizen does not very well know what fate awaits him. But the citizen of the world knows that the harmonious scaffolding of the pacts rises for him. His person is sacred, his goods are sacred, his cost prices are sacred, his profit margins are sacred. The universal republic is the republic of merchants. The lottery of history is stopped once and for all. Now there is only one law, that which allows the keeping of what has one has gained. All is allowed except changing places with those on top. The distribution of lots is final. You are salesman for perpetuity or purchaser for perpetuity, rich or poor forever, master or dependent until the end of times, where national sovereignties are snuffed out, the global economic dictatorship starts to shine. A people can do nothing anymore against the merchants. Once it has given up the right to say, here the contracts are such and such, the traditions are such and such, to sit down here you pay such and such a tithe. The United States of the world is only seemingly a political conception. It is actually an economic conception. The motionless world will be nothing more than an enormous commodity exchange. Winnipeg sets the price of wheat, New York that of copper, Pretoria that of gold, Amsterdam that of diamonds. What recourse do we have if we do not agree? A discussion between rich and poor, we know where that leads. A bad mood, the closing of ports, there are thousands of ways to make us regret it. He who gives up the right to tax foreigners, to escort him out of the city with his goods, to close one's ports to missionaries, gives up freedom also, and all its benefits. What good is a strike? What good is a social conquest in a country which is forced to align its prices to those of foreigners? This question gives us the key to our present difficulties. One assures the life of his own people only by being master in his own land and by expelling foreigners. But the new constitution of the world, as President Truman calls it, invites us to do the very opposite. This policy has a name. For three quarters of a century, one called it politely the open door policy. We have become China. The election of the President of the United States is more important for us than our cabinet crisis. But we have one consolation, the universal conscience which governs us. Perfectly competent lawyers bring us fully made laws. They are the guards of the Vestal Virgin Democracy, similar to fat eunuchs who supervise the avenues of the harem. They have an unknown face and speak a language which we do not understand. They are the interpreters of the clouds. Their function consists in putting within our reach the invaluable mysteries of freedom, peace, truth. They explain to us what patriotism is, what treason, courage, civic duty consist of. They explain to us our new honour and the face of our new fatherland. O laws of towns, laws of our city, laws full and thick, laws which felt like our flesh and smelled with our odour, laws of our ground, O laws of the prince which the herald shouted out in the boroughs, ordinances about which the councillors voiced their opinions, hat in hand, O old kingdom, time of the corsairs, where are you? O warlike laws, murderous laws, we know it now, you were laws of peace and love. O unjust laws, you were laws of justice. O laws of prescription, you were laws of greeting. O laws of spoliation, you were laws of supervision. O laws, you were our very life and our very breathing. You were the measure of our force, and even in evil, our spirit was retained. You were our own blood, and you were our soul. You were our face, and we recognized you. Yes, we recognized you, and even the most brutal, even those which we call today unjust, even this revocation of the Edict of Nantes, which they teach us to curse, how they appear to us as laws of moderation and wisdom in comparison with the laws of foreigners. Now has come the time of law without a face, the time of falsifications and of murder called law. Today a machine to manufacture the world has replaced our councillors. From time to time it puts in its circulation a monstrous, dry, hygienic, inhuman product that we look at with stupor as at a meteorite. And our new legal experts explain to us that one could have hung all of the German soldiers like ordinary murderers and have shot all French civilians for cooperating with the enemy, but that one showed indulgence. O cruel laws of the 13th century, custom of Poitou, duel with sticks, judgment of God, today justice and leniency radiate in your faces. Invisible engineers trace out our universe with chalk lines. We had a house. We will have in its place a beautiful sketch. An eye in the middle of a triangle, as on the cover of a catechism, governs the new political creation. The idealists are unchained. All that has given birth to monsters has the right to speak. Our universe will be like a white clinic, silent like a mortuary. This is the century of nightmares. Idealisms, I hate you. Thanks for listening, folks, and I'll catch you later.